Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire.
And I'm Robert Bucciolato.
Robert, we're going to take a little bit of a diversion today because earlier in 2024, the beloved opening day attraction at the Magic Kingdom, Country Bear Jamboree, closed for renovations and for the development of a new show. And while there are adherents to every Disney ride or Disney show, and people who love every single attraction at the Magic Kingdom or at Epcot Center, other than maybe the Tiki Room, and we know the controversy that caused, and we're going to talk about that in one of our future episodes about Disney in the 90s in this season series on Disney. But I think Country Bear Jamboree has maybe the most devoted fanatics and adherents, and they've really all come out of the woodwork in the last couple of weeks and months.
Well, you know, you think about it, that's kind of, with the exception of maybe the Hall of Presidents and, you know, some of the you know, like rides like It's a Small World and Peter Pan, that's kind of it as far as open day attractions. And there was renovations in, I believe, 2012. There was a huge refurbishment. But for the most part, it's kind of been left intact. And there's been a lot of backlash over the removal of rides like Snow White and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and in particular, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So Disney, especially in the post-Eisner years, has been kind of reluctant to sort of get rid of this kind of a ride, something that was there from the very beginning. But one of the main reasons why I want to talk about this ride in particular is because it is part of Frontierland, which covers a period of time that we've been talking a lot about on this show. In particular, you've been writing a lot about in your great book series. It takes place during the time period of 1790 to about 1870. So there's a very big burlesque kind of old Florida feel, old America feel to this part of the Magic Kingdom, but in particular this ride, and then you have, you know, the Hall of Presidents as well, that is very much like that.
Yeah, and what had inspired Walt to this idea of this Country Bear Jamboree grew out of the 1960 Winter Olympic Games that were held in a place called Squaw Valley, California, not far from Lake Tahoe and not far from Reno, Nevada. The show was originally envisioned for California, for Disneyland, in the early 1960s, and it was going to be placed at a second park in Anaheim that didn't come to fruition at that time. Famously, the project was assigned to the Imagineer Mark Davis, and he sold Walt on a vision that Walt loved of the show. And unfortunately, that meeting was the last time Mark Davis saw Walt Disney alive. Walt Disney died a few weeks later, suddenly, in 1966. Yeah, so go ahead.
He was emaciated with cancer, and he went specifically to Davis's office. And people would come, and they, you know, because he hadn't been there in a while. And been to, you know, the animation department and the Imagineering department. And so people, you know, were all going to, you know, see him and, you know, oh, Walt, how you doing? How you feeling? And Hugh just very calmly, very quietly sort of, you know, tap him on the shoulder or pat him on the, you know, the belly or something and just be like, I just want to talk to Davis right now. It's wonderful to see you. And he wanted to see the artwork for all the various characters for Country Bear Jamboree. And the sort of nucleus for this idea took place at the start of the decade when Disney was put in charge of pageantry for the Winter Olympics that was taking place over in the West. And he put on a real spectacle. And it was why he was staying at these lodges that he came up with the idea for the sort of mountain retreat that we've talked about. And particularly after Walt's death, the mountain retreat was scrapped. Basically, the Sierra Club killed it. They couldn't get the permits. So it was very important for the Imagineers to make sure that this found its way to Disney World. And in a really sort of a parallel manner to Epcot, it was sort of the only shred or the only element of a bigger idea that Walt had, a property idea that didn't come to fruition. So it premiered, and it instantly, opening day, was a huge attraction. It's, I'm sure everybody that is listening to this has been on the ride multiple times. Everybody loves it. It's just a big, fun family activity for a lot of people. Very old Disney. Something that that just has almost Walt's stamp on it. Something that, honestly, a lot of people have said that in the Carousel of Progress and probably, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean are the most Disneyland-esque elements of Disney World.
It was one of the few Disney attractions that opened first in Orlando or the Magic Kingdom in Florida. A year later, the Disneyland version opened. I think they've opened the Tokyo one since, right? The Tokyo Disneyland.
Yeah.
But it was, as you said, as we said, inspired by the 1960 Winter Olympics, which took place near Lake Tahoe on the California side, right? Near Reno, Nevada, yeah. But on the California side of the border. This show, somewhat like the Carousel of Progress, has had just a fanatical following. And in fact, I think each of the characters in the show, probably most notably Henry Bear, has just these devotees. The sort of character following that made Disney what Disney is and what, quite frankly, Disney doesn't do anymore, right? They don't have success developing animal characters or characters of any kind that have these devotees. So you mention the fate of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I think that that's a really illustrative, important thing to discuss with reference to this, and we're going to get into it in a future episode, I promise, the rebranding of the Tiki Room, or not the rebranding, the changing of the show during the Eisner years. Those two events, the Tiki Room and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, created a situation where in the early 2000s, there was discussion of closing the show. And so what ended up happening is the show, there was pushback, right? In terms of just popular support. And it's one of the few things Eisner had to back down on. So after Eisner's gone, they do refurbish the show in I think, 2009, 2010, sometime around then. And then now we have this closure in 2024. But it has been an enduring opening day attraction from the Magic Kingdom. And along with the Hall of Presidents and the Carousel of Progress, three Disney Magic Kingdom attractions that are not actual physical rides, but are these shows that have this enduring legacy and our timeless traditions. To your point, Robert, this is an important note, and I want you to chime in on it. Frontierland was, I think, very near and dear to Walt's vision of the Disney amusement park build-outs. That and Liberty Square, and we've talked about Liberty Square previously. We'll talk about it again. But Frontierland, now people might think about it with the roller coasters and all of that, right? But really, the essence of Frontierland is this show, is Country Bear Jamboree.
Well, and it's, you know, it's really amazing because we are by no means the first people to point out that the sort of coupling of sort of the West or and sort of the South of America, the sort of Americana that a lot of people envision, especially, you know, in, I guess you might say, you know, people kind of think of certainly our national identity of an old America is represented in Frontierland. And you have the sort of Liberty Square, the Liberty Square, which is sort of, you know, kind of the people, the sort of representation of the 13 colonies and sort of, you know, American democracy, and that they're side by side. And both of them kind of signify how Walt thought about America. And both utilize animatronics, this cutting-edge technology that Walt pioneered and was very devoted to and interested in for the last few years of his life. But in Frontierland, you see a lot of elements that are very Twain-like, the sort of Mark Twain idea of American history. You know, the roughing it in the West, the sort of, you know, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn aspects, and, you know, Harper's Mill and all of these other things. And then you got the Pecos Bill aspects and the old Mississippi, and all of those things sort of fit to a lot of the themes, especially Walt's television shows of the 50s and 60s. And really, you kind of get Walt's love of America, and it's not very deep, it's not very nuanced, but it is very genuine, and it's sort of an abbreviated landscape of all of the elements of American life that many people, especially foreign born people, sort of idolize about our system and about our history. And these themes and principles are definitely our guiding light, certainly the guiding light of Walt Disney's existence and his life. We might not live up to them. They might be glossy. The veneer might be a little bit thin, and underneath their things might get a little bit more murky. But for the most part, it's a really good representation of a celebration of all the things that make up the American system. And Country Bear Jamboree in particular is a wonderful toast to this sort of almost folksy cracker character that this region where I'm coming from, the Florida Panhandle and the Appalachian area, is known for.
Robert, thank you so much for that. And I know this podcast has been requested, specifically requested. We've done a number of podcasts that have had listener requests in the past, but this one in particular, I've had requested by multiple people I know. So this is for you guys, the listeners, and we'll be back next week with another new edition of the Florida History Podcast.